cracking and packing. You might have seen these terms if you've been following Wisconsin's redistricting case before the U.S. Supreme Court. But how does redistricting work? How gerrymandered is Wisconsin? Our next guest spent some time researching gerrymandering in the state, and she's with us now to talk about it. Malia Jones is a social epidemiologist with the UW Applied Population Laboratory. Her recent piece for wiscontext.org is titled Packing, Cracking, and the Art of Gerrymandering Around Milwaukee. Malia, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Well, I'm going with a hard G instead of gerrymandering.
I noticed that.
I've been convinced by evidence out there that it's supposed to be a hard G. Just getting that out there, out front. Now, let's start with redistricting, though, Malia. We do this. Why do we do this every 10 years?
Redistricting happens every 10 years because it's written into the United States Constitution that we should have a census every 10 years in order to equally apportion the seats in Congress. And what that means is that every 10 years, the U.S. Census Bureau counts all the people all across the nation at every address. And then the next year, we redraw the assembly, the state assembly, state senate, and also congressional district maps in order to try and create districts that are equal to one another in population size.
And the Constitution says we have to do this. It doesn't exactly specify how states have to do that, and there's a lot of latitude from one state to the next.
That's right. The process of creating the district shapes is a state-level process, and it's actually varied over time. Different states have different rules. The Wisconsin State Constitution has a number of guidelines written into it about what the district should look like, but doesn't really specify the process itself for drawing districts.
Yeah, what kind of guidance do we have here in Wisconsin? There are not absolute rules, but there are some rules. We're not supposed to have those really bizarre looking districts that are famous in other states and in American history.
Correct. So we're one of the rules that the in addition to the equal population size rule, which is universal across all the states, Wisconsin specifies that we should have districts that are compact, and that means that they should not have those sort of wild-reaching, bizarre shapes that you think of as being gerrymandered. I don't go with the hard G usually,
that's okay.
So
I'm not
gerrymandered.
About
gerrymandered.
It.
So that the compactness rule is one of the guidelines for Wisconsin in our Constitution. It also specifies that the shapes should try and maintain communities of interest, which is typically defined as just a group of people who have common legislative interests. So it could be a city or a town or a group of voters in a neighborhood who have similar interests in terms of representation in government.
And are they supposed to use, ideally when they can, county lines and not have ones blur across lines when possible?
Right. So part of maintaining communities of interest is the Constitution also says that whenever possible, the district should follow administrative boundaries such as municipalities, counties, and so on.
And the state legislature is in charge of this here in Wisconsin and a lot of other states.
That's correct. In most states, the state legislature controls the process of drawing the maps and then passing those new maps into law.
Let's get into a how-to of redistricting if you want to help your side out, where the gerrymandering comes in. And you focus in your piece a lot on cracking and packing. Let's talk about each of those in turn. What does it mean if I'm trying to draw these legislative boundaries if I'm cracking?
So the two main processes, as you said, to achieve a gerrymandered map, both have the same aim, and that's to minimize the number of seats that the other party gets in this case, the state assembly as a whole. And so cracking is the process of you take a group of voters, say a group of mostly Democratic-leaning people living in a neighborhood, and you split them across several different districts that are each majority Republican voter. And that way, that block of Democratic-leaning voters doesn't ever achieve a majority in any of the districts, and you end up with tipping the balance of power towards the Republican side. And I should say this happens on both sides. Mm-hmm. Democrats and Republicans both have gerrymandered, and I'm using this is what's under review by the Supreme Court.
Right. We'll dig more into that case and the particulars in Wisconsin. And then packing is kind of the opposite of cracking, but it kind of goes hand in hand in a lot of ways.
Right. So packing is they operate in tension with one another. And packing is the process where you draw a shape that crams as many people on the opposing side into one district as possible. So you end up with a district that's really densely opposing party. And of course, the opposing party is all but guaranteed to win that seat, but you have excluded all those voters from the neighboring districts. So in terms of the balance of power in the legislative body as a whole, it tips it towards the side in power.
And you give examples in the piece, just you share some maps, ideal square maps where you take, you know, a certain proportion of Republicans and Democrats. If you draw the line one way, Democrats have more seats. If you draw it really craftily with packing and cracking, the other side has more seats.
That's right. It is definitely possible to tip the balance of power substantially if you do a careful job of drawing those boundaries to crack and pack blocks of voters.
Talking to Malia Jones from the UW Applied Population Laboratory about her piece at wiscontext.org, looking at redistricting in Wisconsin and a big case in the U.S. Supreme Court. Okay, those are how they work in the abstract. Now, here in Wisconsin, because of the quirks of elections in the past, one party didn't control all of state government. They couldn't gerrymander if they wanted to. But this time around, it was different. Republicans in the last redistricting held all the power. So what is being charged in this case that they did with that power?
Right. So what we had in 2011, when it was redistricting time the last time around, we had Republican control of both houses of the state legislature and the governorship. And that meant that the Republican Party was really in the driver's seat with respect to drawing those boundaries. And the maps that were produced through that Republican-controlled process were challenged in court at the state level and then at the federal level. And a federal three-judge panel actually found that the state assembly district map in Wisconsin is a partisan gerrymander and is therefore unconstitutional. That ruling was challenged, and it was heard by the Supreme Court in October, and we're expecting to hear the ruling on that any day now.
And as you said, both parties have done this in various states around the country, going back a couple hundred years, really. But the question at stake here, it seems like, is, okay, yeah, you can play around with this a little on the margins. Is there a point where the way you've drawn the map, the way you've divvied people up, cracked and packed, is there a point at which it's too far?
I think that is, so that question and the question of how do you know when it is too far, how do you measure this thing, are really what at the heart of this Supreme Court case. It turns out it's quite a hard thing to measure. You know, sometimes we look at a legislative district and it has a notably bizarre shape and you can sort of see it and say, wow, that looks weird. That looks really like it could have been drawn purposefully to achieve some end, right? Other times you just look at the landscape of how people are spread out and how, you know, voting by party tends to follow social class and economic and race lines pretty closely. And we live in a very segregated society spatially. So anytime you draw a map, even if you were to have a computer do it, you would end up with some districts that were really heavily leaning one way or the other in terms of party. And that question of how do we know when it was purposeful in order, you know, drawn purposely to achieve political aims, and how do we measure that, are what's at the heart of the case.
And we even have mathematicians weighing in on this, and I think, actually having depositions to the court saying, here is a possible mathematical measurement, and here's how it plays out in Wisconsin.
Right. So the court, the lower court focused really strongly on this measure called the efficiency gap. The efficiency gap measures something known as wasted votes. And it's basically the number of people who cast a vote and ended up not being represented by the party they voted for across all the voters in the whole state. So it measures how many, how it sort of measures the degree to which districts were cracked and packed. In the Supreme Court case, there were a couple of other mathematical measures also presented to look at other issues like compactness and the odds that a similar map or a similar outcome could occur by chance were also presented to the Supreme Court. And yeah, there's a whole group of people at Tufts University who are running a lab on the math of gerrymandering.
And now as we start to wrap up every Monday morning, those of us in the media wake up and look to see if the Supreme Court has dropped their ruling on this. They haven't yet. Could be any day now. They could reject Wisconsin's maps. They could uphold them. Whatever they do, we're going to start over again in just a couple of years, right?
That's right. So if the Supreme Court upholds the lower court's decision, then that means our current state assembly and by implication also our state Senate map are unconstitutional. And so we'll have to redraw them basically immediately. And it's sort of unclear how that process might unfold. If they do not uphold, if they overturn the lower court's decision, then we're going to have to redraw the maps anyway, like we always do, just after the decennial census, which is coming up in just 2 years. So redistricting will be coming up either this year, most likely, or early next year, or right after the census.
Malia, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Malia Jones, social epidemiologist with the University of Wisconsin Applied Population Laboratory. She was with us to talk about her project looking at gerrymandering in Wisconsin. You can learn more over at wiscontext.org.